Well, now, here we go again. Today is the, the 8th of July. The year is 2022. It is, what is today? It's Friday. It's Friday. Okay, the beginning of the weekend. I got a call from a friend of mine early this morning telling me about a few weekend events. And I told him, well, with the new disposition of the virus, and I've been locked up in my house for 2 weeks. I don't want to see anybody. Don't need to see anybody. I see enough people in my life. But I want to talk a little bit about where we are, in my humble opinion. Let me stand up and open up a window here so I can get some fresh air in the Lucy Coleman studio. Oh, stand up. I don't like sitting down too much. It kind of wears me out. I need to stand up, concentrate. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Fresh air in Harcourt House. As I talk to you about a few things. I hope that you guys are doing all right. My health-wise, I'm doing okay. I better break out another bottle of water. I try to keep hydrated. That's what I do. There's supposed to be a terrible hot spell in California that everybody's talking about. It's just regular sunny Southern California to me. I got a call from one of the boys at the house. Another death in his family. And I asked him, why did you call me? And he says, I called to see how you're doing. That shows love. I understand that. That shows love. And I just told him, I said, you have to remember what I taught you years ago. As it is appointed unto man once to die, then. And I think the thing that really bothers people is that they hear me quote those old ancient texts. They don't pay it any attention while they're living it up, doing life. And he even told me why he hasn't been calling me. And I told him, yeah, well, whenever you call me, you're going to find that I'm still dealing in the private lives of other people, and other people want to talk to you and they want to find out more about me. But my intention on doing a webcast today was they shot the ex-prime minister of Japan, shot him while he was giving a shout out for some of his political constituents there in Japan. They're just killing their leaders. And the guy that did it was in his 40s and in the next generation after the now deceased prime minister in his 40s made a gun and shot him, and he died before they could try to revive him. When you think about the 4th of July shootings in the Chicago area, terrible. Then you think about the black man that was refused to obey the commands of the police to pull over, regardless of what situation. A cop car come up behind me with red lights on, red and blue lights on. I'm going to pull the hell over and have both of my hands. When he says, turn the engine off, I'm going to turn it off. If I don't like living in America, there's one thing you can do. You can buy a visa, a passport, and if you don't have a police record, you can get the hell up out of here. You don't like this country. But when you're in this country, and I got to say this, and I know a lot of you are going to get teed off at me. I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to know these people's names. But the female basketball player going to Russia. Now, they've been showing, the Russians been showing when they videoed going through her private stuff, and the vape was in a sealed envelope. So she's lying. She knew that was in her baggage. But did she know the laws of the land of another land? See, let me say something about this freedom that we in America take for granted. We think it's freedom. It's not freedom. When you leave this country and you go into another country, you can't take your damn freedom that you think you have here over there and flaunt it in their face. No, they're not going to allow that. They are not going to allow that. You are not free to do what you do in America in any other country that you go visit. You are never that free. And I'm saying to the girl, I'm not going to pray for her. I'm not going to pray that they get her out of there. And if they find her guilty, she's going to do the time since she did the crime. Now, you may think, and you know what is sad, because she had on one of those Crenshaw T-shirts, you know? You think you can wear a Crenshaw T-shirt? Them people in Moscow or wherever she is are not concerned about the Crenshaw area over here where she came up. They're not concerned about her being a basketball clown, basically. And I'm not being cold-blooded. I'm just being truthful with you because I think that's what we need to understand. You cannot go to another country and do what you do here, there. Your freedom, once you leave American soil, and you know, the colonializers thing, see, and that's what's wrong with our young people. They don't understand. I don't know who their teachers or their instructors were when they were in school or when they were in the mode of trying to learn about how life is lived, but you cannot go anywhere in this world and do anything. I was on Facebook looking at a friend of mine's post, and he was talking about when he was dancing with the group Hammer Time, MC Hammer, and he was talking about how he and the dancing crew had certain protocol that they were supposed to pay attention to. And it reminded me, and excuse me, Hugh, because I'm trying to start up another computer, and I'm having difficulty with this. But anyhow, let me finish my thought. He was saying that they were given protocol, just like when I was in the U.S. Army. I was given protocol when I got sent to Korea. They told us how we as American soldiers were to behave. Like, I believe they tell a lot of American soldiers that go to Saudi Arabia and other parts of the world. You just can't go and do what you would do in America, what you would do over there. You don't do that. You don't have the right, the freedom to do it. And if you do it and they find you doing it, they have the right to lock you up, to prosecute you, to give you hard labor time. Now, I find in this interesting story about this, that sounds like somebody coming to my front door. Wait a minute. Are they going to ring the doorbell or what? See, that's what I want to know. When I hear bells ring like that, that means somebody is I'm looking at the live picture right now, and I don't see nobody, so it just must have been the wind blowing my flag. See, I have protection cameras and things around me like that, because I'm living in a world where somebody will walk in on you. And if they walk in on me, I'm here right near my weapon of mass destruction. And I'll bring some mass destruction on you. Young man called me and told me that his family experienced death. I asked him, how did the person die? Well, we don't know. We all gather. What you mean you don't know? Was there any foul play? What happened? And I told him, I said, people dying all the time, son. And I asked him why he called me. He said, well, I want to know how you doing. Why? Why, you're not related to me by blood. Why are you calling me? Because one day you're going to call up. No, one day somebody going to see your name in my phone book, and they're going to call you and say, PJ is dead. Don't be getting all upset. As it is appointed unto me once to die, and I believe this. I can't prove it to you, but I believe that once I die. No, that's a scam. Let me just decline this. I get these calls all the time, and I have on my phone scan likely, and so I won't even be wasting my time trying to pick it up. See, if you know my number and I know your number and you call me, I'm going to pick it up if it's a name I want to talk to. If you don't agree with me, if you want to fuss with me, if you want to haggle, you know, that's the term that they use. You want to haggle back and forth with me and ask me, why am I this way and why am I that? I'm that way because I can be that way. I am free. Even though I'm on the plantation of America, I am free to decline a call. You see. And thank God some of these youngsters taught me how to use this technology they have out here these days, because this technology really helps me get along in the world that I'm living in. But anyhow, let me get back to the brass tacks. Mayhem, and I even saw on the newsreel, the mayor of New York City, black man, ex-New York policeman, is the mayor of the city, and talking about crime is going up. Yeah, it's going up. Because people in this country think that they can do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, and you can't do nothing to them. You know, it's interesting. I don't hear anything else about that young man in Ohio that they put 90 bullets in him. Because when they showed the video and showed the flash of the gun muzzle coming from his car, and they said, well, why did they have to shoot him 90 times? Because he let off one shot at a policeman and wouldn't pull over. He declared war, and he chose the day he died. You won't hear about him. And all these people in the street, Black Lives Matter, yeah, you better teach some of these black lives like these white lives. Well, why didn't they kill the white man the way they shot him? Oh, he'll get his day in court, and they'll probably try to show him being insane. And since he was insane, he had the right to shoot down those people in Chicago, right? In that suburb. Man, let me tell you something. I was having a real important conversation with a young man, with two young men, as a matter of fact. And they asked for my analyses. And you know, here recently, I have not been given my analyses of things, because people don't want to hear from me. They don't want to hear from old school. Old school, why don't you tell me what you think is going on? No, what I know is going on. And they say, well, how do you know these things? I said, first of all, let's operate under the premise that all human beings in some way or another are totally depraved. When you say that to these young people, the first thing that they do is that they grab their phone, which I'm going to do, and what is total depravity? Now, I just asked my Google that.
And I found this on the web.
Okay, yeah, I found this on the web. This is what the web would say. total depravities, also called radical corruption, are pervasive depravity. He says, from the theological doctrine derives from the concept of original sin. It teaches that as a consequence of man's fall, every person born into this world is enslaved to the service of sin. As a result of their fallen nature, apart from the efficacious or irresistible or prevalent enabling grace of God, it is completely unable to choose by themselves to follow God, refrain from evil, or to accept the gift of salvation as it is ordered. It is a doctrine is advocated to several degrees by many Protestant denominations, including some Lutheran. I think I'm going to have to take this one, but I'll let them leave a message. I'll let them leave a message, and I'll call them back. And I'll let them hang up and let them leave their message, because I want to finish this cast, and I don't want to. Okay, that does it. So I was explaining to these young men, the definition of total depravity, why these shootings and killings and mayhem and all that stuff is going on. And so they said, I don't believe that. I said, yeah, because you're totally depraved. Yes, you go along with this idealism. I said, this idealism just didn't start. It's been out for thousands of years. As a matter of fact, a lot of civilizations in every country believe this. And so he said, well, what if I refuse to accept what you're saying? Well, if you refuse to accept it, that's not going to stop the fact that you are yet totally depraved. You're a totally depraved individual, just the way that I am, meaning that I am capable of doing the worst thing that you ever heard of. And the only thing that constrains me not to do that is my personal belief and view that, there it is. They left a message for me. Now I'm supposed to go to this message and see what they said. Okay, it's for me. Okay, I'm going to call her back as soon as I finish this webcast, because in my mindset, this comes first. See, that was my hospital calling me and trying to get in touch with me, and I'll call you back, and hopefully they're going to tell me something about ordering more medication and doing everything else, because they need to hear from me. But anyhow, these young men didn't believe what I said. And one of them, because I was looking at my TV, was showing me this video of this black woman mocking the black preacher. And she was using all kind of language and gestures and things like that. And this is what I said. I said, if this woman was a Muslim in a Muslim country, she wouldn't be alive because they would kill her. And I said, and deservedly so, because what she is doing is she is committing sacrilege against, albeit it was the religion given to me by the colonizers, that religion in certain degrees, that the God that created the universe can use those idioms, those axioms, to procure life. And I was warning the young men not to be so hasty to cast out the baby with the bathwater. That some tenets of the religion that I yet ascribe to. And this is what I found amazing. After I did not know that Donnie McKirkland had died. I had no idea. Donnie McKirkland was a gospel singer that was popularized after the late 90s, and he got throat cancer, and he's dead. He's no longer amongst us. And I didn't know that Jesse Lee Peterson, whom I constantly criticize, when, as a matter of fact, he was on my radio show, and I did a radio show with him. I went down to his little studio on Pico to do that, and Jesse Lee Peterson looks like his entire staff has turned against him, and he's been accused of groping men and being a closeted homosexual to seduce these people in his so-called Christian organization. And I told people years ago to beware of that man. I said, this man too easily speaks against all Christian ministers, and look at him. He was a not a pedophile, but a wild homosexual that was taking advantage of other men. I'm sorry, but I've never done that in my life. I've been gay my whole adult life that I know of, but I've never done that. Why? Because God rules supreme in my life, even as a gay man. See, God don't, it don't make no difference to God whether you gay or straight or anything like that, but you better live by his standards. Now, let's talk about what sin is, because a young man asked me as they were having a conversation with me, what is this sin that is so that so depraves an individual? And you see, and I checked after I went to Jesse Lee Peterson's thing, and see, I said, oh my God, they didn't put that man's life out all over the internet. And I understand he was getting money, tons of money from people in the evangelical church. I've always said this for years. Most people in the church have never thought for themselves. They do not know how to think independent of somebody else controlling their thoughts. I've never tried to control a man's thoughts and how he thinks, but most people need somebody to think for them. And so they asked me, they said, what is sin? I said, I'm going to give you St. Origen's definition of sin, because around 200 or so years after Christ died, the people that had embraced Christianity in Northern Africa, whereas St. Origen was one of these apologists thousands of years ago that had to give an axiom of a belief of what sin is. When I was teaching theology in my garage, in my home, in the church that I pastored, this is what I taught everyone that took basics of the faith with me. I believe that Zarek still has those basics clips up on his YouTube page, and I may have it up on mine. I'm not sure. I put so much stuff up there. I got almost 500 clips, but I do recall teaching what sin is. And Origen said that to him, this is what sin is. And I think to date, some 2,000 years after his death, this is about the best definition that I've ever seen of sin. Origen said that sin is the lack of conformity to the revealed will of God and the refusal of the creature to be related to his creator by faith. Now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to state that again. And I thank God I didn't pick up that phone, because I don't want this computer to go on the bluey. I want to put this up. I haven't put anything up on my website lately because I've been looking at all this bludgeoning and killing and hollering and screaming and Black Lives This and all that stuff, and even on the gay side, I see some of these homosexual people, and I am one of them. I love my own kind. All right, there's a reason that I married Lucy. There's a reason that she married me. I'm not ashamed to say it, and I loved her as a human being, as a wife. She gave me two beautiful children, but I've been feeling this way my whole life about men. I didn't tell the church. Why? It's none of their business. Why? Because I married Lucy. Was I going to have an affair with somebody else? Oh, hell no. No, when you put on that, and that's something that Eddie Long didn't consider. That's something, when you call yourself a minister of God, you don't have to follow what these denominationalists tell you, see, because they say, well, if you don't worship God the way I worship God, then you're not worshiping the same God. That's a lie. That's a lie, because God called me to be a preacher. Didn't know church, didn't know man, didn't nothing like that called me to be no preacher. I'm not confused. I'm not out of my mind. And I want to talk to those of you that knew me, that followed me when I taught you. I'm still the same man when it comes to God. I'm not playing with it. I know who I am. You figure out who the hell you are and why you do what you do. And let's go back to Origen's definition, the lack of conformity to the revealed will of God. This is what sin is. You miss the mark of God's calling if you don't know what God's view is on the situation that you're dealing with. Now, let me use an example, and I'll use it as an example. Same-sex marriage. How does God feel about you marrying the same sex? He didn't tell you not to marry the person that you love. You can make a unilateral agreement to marry any human being you want. If you lived in the jungle alone out there, no one else was around you, and you was a female, and you ran into another female about your same age. She cooked the way you cook, cleaned house the way you clean, didn't grow up in a society where men marry women, and they just linked up as human partners. And when that human partner was feeling sad, she would hug her, caress her, kiss her, make a blanket for her, cook for her, take care of her. Same thing is allowed with men. Now, if you move to another country, another environment where people don't believe like that, they're going to persecute you because they believe that a man should only marry a woman. Why? Because you're supposed to have children. Why? And so you can keep the economy going, teach them what we believe, live like we live here. That's why these people then fell into total debauchery and start killing all these people. You know what they're going to do next? They're going to go to the law books and they're going to reverse same-sex marriages in America because they're going to get tired of it. Some people are going to start blowing up same-sex marriages, just like that man killed the ex-prime minister of Japan. He didn't like what he taught the people on the right or the people on the left. And what happens? No God in their lives. No moral, how can I say it? These people today do not have a moral binding that binds them and hold them accountable for the deeds that they do. There is no moral belief that these people live by that govern their actions. So they feel like they can just go around and out anybody they want to out. They can treat them any kind of way they want to treat them because they're free to do so. If they don't like the way things are going, they can go and just blow up things because they aren't getting their ways. That's why people are just busting in department stores. They're totally depraved. Here you see the big old sheet glass out there to protect all the jewelry. I don't know why they would bust in a glass window and take a Gucci purse. What the hell you need that ugly looking piece of leather for to put your shit in? It doesn't make any sense to me because I don't grow up in a world where Gucci is supposed to be. Gucci, to me, is like a dog relieving himself in the dirt. That doesn't click with me. I'm a different individual than other people. I knew of a young man, he had to go and be at a special event, and he had on some clothes, and I said, that looks pretty raggedy. And so he says, do you have suits? I said, I have a lot of suits in my closet hanging up in my suit bag. He said, let me see one. I said, I have just the perfect suit for you. And it perfectly fit him. A beautiful suit. He said, I don't want to wear that. I said, why? He says, I'm an artist, and I'd have to rip these pants leg. I said, you would destroy this suit for what reason? You know what he told me? Oh, that's my belief, that's how I step on things that I don't believe. I said, well, you're not going to tear up my damn suit. I said, you go ahead to that event and wear that mess and let me know how it went. I love this individual as a human being. I do. But out of his mind, when is it? Just because you call yourself, and I want to address this because John Coleman has not changed. If you talk crazy and walk crazy and do all that, and you do that crazy around me, I'm going to tell your ass that you crazy. Now, some of you may tell me, why do you hang around people like that? Well, let me answer it this way. Why did I hang around you? You were just like that, totally depraved. Now, people that are no longer totally depraved have to hang around these people that are depraved, and so that you can let them know what reasonableness looks like. See, just because I don't like what is going on in my environment, or my environment, if you will, I do not have the right to destroy, to systematically tear down that environment to get my way. No. That is what colonialized religion did to me. I'm just not going to play with it. You know, we as brothers, we find ourselves floundering with the statement, slaves obey your masters and all that. Well, you don't have a master over you as a human being. But I was explaining to someone that we used to live in a society where there were only slaves, the haves and the have-nots. And so when Christianity bounces on the scene, in order for Paul to keep these people that were believing in God, and he was telling them how to live peaceably in a civilization where most people were corrupt, he said, obey the people that got to rule over you. That has nothing to do with us being slaves to people in this country telling us how to live. But these youngsters have taken it too far. Now, what I do is when you take it too far in my face, in my sight, in my premise, in my house, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you with all the powers that be in me. Because in this America, the way I understand freedom, listen, and that's what a lot of people are going crazy about, because they think that their freedoms are being overridden by people that don't consider their freedom. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to make some more of you mad, but I'm going to tell you what you did. You went and tore down all the monuments, the Southern monuments that sung the song of Dixie. You tore down their monuments, their statues, their community squares. They believed in that stuff. And here on the West Coast, oh my goodness, they can't do that to us. We can do this to them, though. Well, when that man shot out of his car at those policemen, do you hear anybody screaming about them 90 bullets in him? No, because if you're a police officer and somebody fires at you and gets out, and will not follow the commands that you're giving him, put your hands up, lie down, have your arms out. If you won't do that and you still resisting, then you are resisting the law. You may not like the law. Get your money out the bank, out your savings, out of your IRA, and get the hell up out this country. And go to some other civilized country. And you can't even go down where they have the cartels ruling the government and do your shit down there, because they're not going to allow you to do that there either. Anywhere where men are living in some kind of civilized thing, you will not be able. That's why that female basketball player, you can't bring no dope in this country. Talking about I was in a hurry and I was packing up my stuff. I saw her attorney talking on the news today, and he don't look like, with his rose-colored glasses, he don't look like he can defend a kitty cat in a paper sack. I'm not mean. I'm just telling you the truth. You better show up right, and you better talk right, and you better say something that makes some sense. See, if the police come to my house and if they find a sack of cocaine over here, somebody planted it, I wouldn't even know how to get it. I wouldn't know where to hide it. I wouldn't know what to do with it after I had it. All right, let's just raise that. 36 minutes into this webcast. Popo come to my house and find some hashish, some cocaine. Oh, they're going to find some marijuana. Because I smoke sativa, it helps me with, and I haven't smoked any sativa today or taken any drops. Why? Because I'm thinking through everything clearly. I only do that when the depression gets to me. I'm 78 years old. I get depressed. Now, if I were going to fly across the state boundaries in a car, I'm going to find out what the laws are driving when you have marijuana on you, because I'm not going to have it on me when I pass over the California state line, because in this state, it's legal. But because I like it, it doesn't make it legal if I carry it over in the next state. So if a patrolman calls me or pulls me over and I'm in the car with you, all right, let's make it really personal. And they search my goods and you ain't got no marijuana, and I do, you going to jail with me. Yeah, but it was, I said, you're going to jail with me. Because when you cross over state lines, they don't care what your excuse is. See, well, why are they holding her? I mean, it was just a vape. And vape don't do, hey, they don't want it around them. And when they find it around them, when they want to, and I'm sure it's in Russia already, but they're going to persecute who they want to. And they're just going to use this as a political ploy against America because of Russia that invaded the Ukraine. And look at the Americans. We're not going to let the Americans, who some of them are fighting over here as contraband soldiers, killing our soldier. We don't know what this woman is bringing over here. Is she for us or against us? See what I mean? And so if you don't consider those things before you take up traveling to another country, getting on these jets, and look, just getting on these jets, flying first class, I'm an American. That don't mean nothing to most people. Oh. So you can see all this stuff is flooding my head. Let's get back to the total depravity. Did the young man accept? I said, ain't this a shame? You got to go to Google to find out what the hell I'm talking about. I said, you have no idea. I asked this young man to call me today. He said, such and such, that's in my family through marriage. They found him dead. I said, what did he die of? Well, we don't know. We're all gathering. I said, when you find out what he died of, then you call me. I don't want to hear anything. Because a man could have took an overdose of something. I know how that is. If I take something and it kills me and they find me dead, and when they do the autopsy is going to show what I died of. And that autopsy result should be put out there. Oh, John Coleman died because he took some shrooms or whatever that is. Mushroom, shrooms. What do you mean he took it? Well, that's a hallucinant that he took. Why did he take that? John was tripping. He's totally depraved. You expect him to do whatever the hell he want to do. Now, hey, wait a minute. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, right? He resigned yesterday. And he's admitting, he didn't even give an explanation. Talking about his own party members got together to get rid of him because he lied. During COVID, when he was supposed to be shut down, lockdown, he was partying, drinking on the government money and everything else. Like, you can't be doing no mess like that. You're supposed to be above questioning, just like a pastor is supposed to be. Jesse Lee Peterson was the head of a so-called, he called himself the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, and had people giving money to this clown, this buffoon. I remember when he was on my radio show, I said, man, there's something wrong. Is something wrong with you? I can't put my finger on it, but it's something wrong with you, and it's going to come out. Because you see, a lot of people, a lot of white people, a lot of black people gave Jesse Lee tons of money. Wait a minute, don't get it twisted. Did you ever hear me telling anybody when I was on the radio, when I was in the church, did you ever hear me telling anybody to give me money? I said this. If you like my radio program and like what I'm doing, you can send money to this P.O. box and it will go towards the radio. I never used a penny of that money for me to eat food or anything. I used to tell them, my wife is working and I'm working. I don't need your money. Your money perish with you. See, because I didn't call myself into ministry. I didn't do that. Man, I was reading up on that Eddie Long thing, what he did, and man, he had to pay off millions of dollars to those young men who turned on him. Those young men knew what that was. They knew that they were offering themselves and that Eddie was paying them money out of the budget of the church. And they knew it because the young men had told their parents. They knew what that was all about. They all knew. And you know who killed Eddie Long? God did. Because see, he thought, oh, look at me. I can do this. I can do that. What did they say he died of? What did he die of? Did you get that right? What did he die of? I rightly don't know. I'll have to look that up, I guess. Wait a minute. Let me see if Google would tell me. What did the minister Eddie Long die of? What killed him? Okay, let's see if they're going to answer that. Because, you know, I believe they're listening to me on this phone. I didn't have it on. Wait a minute. Let me do this. What caused the death of the minister Eddie Long?
I found this on the web.
Okay. And it says, this is what it says, the death of Bishop Eddie Long and the reckoning of the black church. Wait a minute. It says he was a fine church. He was a fine pastor of a mega church, the New Birth Missionary, which he boasted more than 25,000 members at its height. Long was one of the country's most vocal pastors against churches accepting gay members, even leading a church through the city with thousands affirming the beliefs calling homosexuality a spiritual abortion. Of course, that all made the headlines, grabbing scandal in 2010 when four young men in the congregation accused him of coercing them for sexual activities, often on church trips, instead of fighting back or leading the church. Bishop Long settled the case quietly. Single mothers and college students had faithfully giving their 10% back to God. Can you believe all this? I want to know what he died of, though. I want to know what he died of. Where does it say? Let me see. Black church and the congregation. What did he die of? Somebody need to see, because it looked like a rare form of cancer that ate him up, just like Fred Price died, and Fred Price was spewing in his, I can live as long as I want to live, and I can keep death out of my front yard and my backyard and everything. Yeah, well, it walked right in during COVID and got him and ate him up and killed him. Now, if I die of some COVID-related things, it's because I've had two booster shots and the regular COVID shots. I know a lot of people that were members of my church that haven't had one shot because they never believed in the government. I got those shots for one reason. I wanted to see my daughters. So I said, what, you telling me I can't come by and visit you and love you and see you, the daughters that Lucy gave me, if I don't get a shot? I said, hell, I'll take the shot because I believe that my God is stronger than the vaccine. Listen, let me tell you something. If anybody found out what Eddie Long died of, tell me. I'm not going to read no more of that mess. I don't care what he died of. This is a scam. And I just deleted it. See, I got one of them phones to tell me when somebody is scamming. I don't be picking up every phone call. If it's important, I'll pick it up. If it's unimportant, don't sell me nothing. I'm not trying to buy nothing. I have some frozen artificial meatballs in my freezer, which I plan to thaw out half of the pack, and I'm going to make some nice spaghetti noodles. I got to get some more vegetables in here. I think I got some canned veggies, and I'll eat some of those. But I'm going to die whenever God wants me to die. And see, you know, I remember a pastor friend of mine told me when I told him that I was gay, he said, you can't do that. You're going to go to hell when you die. I said, I'm not. For what? What have I ever done? What have I ever done to qualify me going to hell? What Eddie Long did, he qualified going to hell by taking all those people's money and then in the court cases, ripping off the church budget of millions of dollars to pay his gay lovers who blackmailed him and got him in the end. Oh my God. And all these other preachers that run these crooked churches, black people need to do the investigation for themselves. I don't know why they just believe their religious leaders because they talk smack. Had to drink some water. I've been talking over 48 minutes, and I said, man, you better put some water down your throat. See, I'm getting older too, people. But I see all this mayhem going on. So let's get back to the total depravity. Eddie Long was totally depraved because he got, remember when they had this white man come to the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church and they had him in a chair and the men in his church picked him up and they gave him something that looked like the Torah and see him because he's, see, right then, them people should have booed and tore that sanctuary up, should have burned it down. And you know what I find about the church, when you go to my YouTube, John Cole, 1234, and you see most of the sermon clips that I have up was preached at the Olivet Baptist Church of Los Angeles, which was located at 976 East Jefferson Boulevard. Now, the address is still there, but there's a row of condos there. The building doesn't exist. It's been torn down. It's gone. James B. Stanley had that church built, and He, the deacons, and all of them that put forth to this, they're all dead. The church is gone. And when I watched the clips on YouTube, I said, oh, my God. It's like those words were spoken truly out of the heart of a man, me, that believed what I preached, and I still do to this day. And that's the reason why at 78, and I am ill. I have heart disease. That's why the Kaiser Foundation called me, and I'm going to call her back, because I have heart disease, and I feel the heart disease. It is there. I feel it, and I'm not fighting it, because it happens in age. But when I die, I just died. In other words, I'm going to, you know, I don't want, like that young man to call me about somebody else that he knows that died. Oh, he died. And I said, well, what did he die of? Oh, we don't know. We're trying to find out. I said, did the coroner? Oh, I just called to see how you doing. You know what he did? He attached me to, and this man that died was just 52 years old. And I said, that's a very young age for a black man to die. Did he have heart disease? Did he have a stroke? Was he using drugs? Did somebody shoot him? What? Why would a 52-year-old man just die? I just called to see how you was doing. See, he tried to put me in that category. No. I believe in God. I affirm the things that God affirms. Y'all better listen to me. Y'all better hear PJ, Pastor John. I forever will. That's why I haven't taken anything off my YouTube page. I will leave those clips up because that is what gives me life. I am right, and Fred Price was wrong. That's why he's dead. He is dead. And he was a father of the Word Faith movement in African-American history. Had that Doom Dome down there in Los Angeles, and they can't fill that place up. And because I tell you the truth, I don't try to sugarcoat it. I don't try to make it easy. If I died of something, if I took a drug and died, I hope that it comes out. John died because he took a drug, and the drug killed him. Now, does that mean I'm going to hell? No. It doesn't mean that I'm going to hell. It meant that I made an error in human judgment, and I shortened the life that God had given me because I was trying to find my thrill on Blueberry Hill. See, I'm real with it. Muhammad Ali died because he had a severe illness that finally took him out. Too many blows to the head took him out. Malcolm X died because he was saying things that a lot of racist individuals did not want to hear him talk about: black liberation of the mind and freedom and living a life governed by your own particular standards. This is how some people die, some people live. This is what happens. It's normative. But today, I live in a day and age where sin is denied, where people deny God. And I remember one young man, he tried to, and he grew up in the church, and he was trying to talk me down on, he said, he was saying to me, you ought to throw out your colonizer's religion the way that I did. I said, boy, you haven't lived long enough to know that God will never leave himself without a witness. Boy didn't understand what I was saying. Young man's not even 30 years old. I said, God will never leave himself without a witness. meaning this, I am a witness for the one true God. Nani McCurkin has died. One of the clips they had up on the website was Donnie said, I'm alone. I ain't got nobody with me. I ain't got no money. I'm sick. And why would he say that? Why would he put that out? There was another thing, Richard Smallwood. I've always loved his singing and his group. And Richard Smallwood talking about he suffers with deep depression. And I found that striking. Why would he suffer with deep depression where he would not believe in God the way he had to believe in God because of certain things that are happening in his life? No, God has to be so strong in you that regardless, and I mean even if death comes near your portal or your front door, you're not afraid. Oh, what is it? I think it's let me turn to it. I'm going to end up this webcast, this 4 minutes with this. And I'm going to go to it and I'm going to read it to you because you need to be helped. A lot of you out there, you've forgotten the important things about life. Here we are. Here it is. I want to go to the 51st Psalm and I want to read it to you. And I want to bring it to your remembrance. And maybe it'll give you some idea how God can love you. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. See, this is a beautiful psalm right here because this is a man that knew God. Now listen to what it says. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. In other words, the psalmist had to admit that he was dirty. And cleanse me from my sin. See, he had to admit that he was totally depraved. And then he says, for I know my transgressions. In other words, he had to have human knowledge of who he was and what he was all about. And look what else he says. And look what he says. And he says, and my sin is ever before me. In other words, he says, I can't erase them. I can't get it out of my conscience. And then he says, against you. And against you only have I sinned. In other words, if he killed a man, you know, that man that shot Nipsey Hussle? Oh, man. He sinned against God when he shot Nipsey. And if Nipsey sinned against a man, he's going to have to give an account. The young men that were toying with me, they're going to have to give an account. I'm going to have to give an account. Every creature that lives on this planet before he dies will give an account of the deeds done in his body. This man says, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. In other words, God, I did this right in front of you and didn't give a hoot. And then he says, so that thou art justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. I'm going to stop right there. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. You need to read it. You need to read it. And if you can't say it like he said it, against your stupid behind, your stupid idealism, your crazy individualism, and deny God, I will never deny him, ever. The Muslims are my brothers if they never deny him. The Sikhs are my brothers if they never deny him. I'm not biased or prejudiced in any way. I hope that this webcast brings you up to date as to where PJ is. Thank you for coming to my website. I love you all.